Amen. So we're going to look at a few of the words of Christ that he said after the resurrection. Obviously not all of them, but let's see if we can find a theme in some of these words. The Word of God, of course, is the source of our spiritual nourishment. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says the Word of God is quick. Doesn't mean it's fast. That's an old English word that means it's alive. That's what makes it different than any other book. The Bible is alive. Just as God is alive and Jesus is alive, the Word is alive. It is a living word. And the written word is precious, nourishes our born-again spirit with its sustaining qualities. I often wonder what it would have been like to actually hear the voice, the human voice of Jesus when he spoke. People were astonished at his words, but we should be equally astonished at his written word because it's just as profound. And so let's look at a few things he said. And again, find some theme in why he said these things. John chapter 20 and verse 15. John chapter 20, verse 15. Speaking to Mary Magdalene right after the resurrection, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Mary Magdalene was distraught because Jesus' tomb was empty. Repeatedly, she makes comments that show she still believed Jesus was dead. She's weeping when Jesus speaks these words to her, but let's back up just a little bit and see how we came to this. The women came to the tomb to treat the body of Jesus early on that Sunday morning, first day of the week. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they entered into the tomb and saw that no body was there. They saw two angels, however, and the angels spoke to the women. Luke chapter 24 and verse 5, they ask, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Mark chapter 16 and verse 6, the angel said, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. Luke chapter 24 and verse 6, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Matthew chapter 28 verse 7 says, And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. So it's very clear that the angels told these women Jesus is alive. That's why he's not here. Now, Mary, I believe, heard a lot of this. She was with the women when they arrived at the tomb. She was with them when they discovered the tomb was empty, except for the angels being there. She will come back a little later, will make note and see the angels again. And somehow the words that they're speaking do not register with her. So Mary separates from the other women, and she runs and finds Peter and John chapter 20 and verse 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Notice, we know not. I mean, she assumes everybody else is thinking like she is, except the fact that the other women, we will find, were convinced of what the angels had said. Peter and John, though, run to the tomb, and they find it empty. Mary follows behind. Peter and John see the empty tomb. Both of them eventually go in. John, it says, believed. We're not sure about Peter. But Mary stands outside the tomb. She looks inside, saw the angels there. John chapter 20 and verse 13, And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Now the angels know that Jesus is right there. And so while she is crying and answering the angels, they don't bother to say anything else. They don't need to, because she turns around and there he is, except she doesn't recognize him. So Jesus says to her in John chapter 20 and verse 15, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She keeps hearing the same question over and over again. It's the same words that the angels had spoken to her a couple of times. And she says the same thing to Jesus, not knowing who it was. Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, I will take him away. But even as she's saying these words, something is changing. Jesus speaks again and simply says her name, Mary. And suddenly, she recognizes the voice. You can almost hear Mary gasp as she recognizes the voice. That was enough to change everything for her. The familiarity of the voice was then confirmed as she turned directly towards Jesus and saw him alive. You know, sometimes things are so obvious that we miss them. We're so hardened in what we believe to be true, we just can't see beyond that. For Mary, Jesus was dead, no matter what she was told. Jesus was dead. She was convinced of that. She couldn't shake it off. Until she heard the voice, really heard the voice of Jesus. If you will listen to the Word of God, really listen to the Word of God, everything can change for you, like it did for Mary. So later that same day, Jesus comes upon two men, and this is what he has to say to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe. Luke chapter 24 and verse 25. It says two disciples were walking together. No, it doesn't use the word disciples, but it says, actually back up to verse 13. We'll start there. Back up to verse 13. It says, behold, two of them. Who's them? Well, I suppose two of the larger group of disciples, not two of the 12. And they are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It tells us the distance on that road, 70 furlongs. A furlong is 220 yards. There were 60 of them. So that's 13,200 yards. There's 1,760 yards in a mile. So 60 furlongs is 7.5 miles. So that's how far they're walking. They're on that road. They're making their way from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they are talking about the things that have happened over the last couple of days. Verse 14, they talk together of all these things which had happened. Jesus approaches. We're not sure how he got there. You know, he can kind of fly around these days. And, of course, this road would be a main road between Emmaus and Jerusalem. There would likely be other people on this road as well. It was not a Sabbath day, and so Jews were allowed to travel on this particular day. Being the first day of the week, it could have been a busy road, at least other people coming towards them, whatever. But Jesus draws near, verse 15, he begins to walk with them. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now, the question is, what was holding their eyes? It's possible that Jesus held their eyes, but I think it's just as possible that their unbelief was holding their eyes, the same as it did for Mary. Because these two are convinced Jesus is dead. Verse 17, he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? They couldn't be sad if they knew he had risen from the dead. So they explained some things to Jesus. Verse 18, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Verse 19. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. Not is. Was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted, past tense, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. You know, after 3 days, you got to be pretty well convinced he's dead, right? Verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but they saw him not, so they couldn't confirm that he was alive. Probably not. You know, those women. They saw angels? Verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The word of God should guide our understanding of events. Events should not guide our understanding of the word of God. So Jesus explains the truth to them. Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. It was right there in the Word of God all along. If only they had believed what was written, they wouldn't have been influenced by circumstances. Oh, that we would have ears to hear and hearts so attuned to the scriptures that we would believe without seeing. Well, continuing with these two disciples, and then into the larger group. Luke 24, verse 32. The two disciples, again, not of the 12, probably of the 70, remember he sent 70 out two by two? Probably of the 70. Went back to Jerusalem, found the 11 minus Thomas at this point, plus others. Verse 32, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Somehow they found out along the journey that Christ had appeared to Peter. Peter, we're not sure if he believed when he saw the empty tomb. It probably took a special appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 affirms for us that he did appear to Peter personally. But somehow these two on the way to find the other disciples, the main group, heard that he had appeared to Simon. We're not sure how that happened. In verse 35, they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And they're all talking, and suddenly, Jesus is just there. Verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Wouldn't that be a little unsettling? I mean, John chapter 20 and verse 19 affirms for us that the doors were shut. Nobody opened the door. He was just there. I mean, there are a number of people in this room. There's the main group of disciples. It's called the 11. Thomas isn't present. I have an idea about that. Paul is going to refer to the 12 in a context before the ascension. I think they are after the fact, including Matthias, who would have been present, who was then elected to be the 12th apostle. So we know Thomas wasn't here. They say there are 11 disciples. I'm assuming that Matthias is the one that is considered the 11th at this point. The doors are shut. They're all talking. We don't know exactly how many's in the room. More than 11. There's at least 13. And suddenly Jesus is just there. And the group is terrified. Luke 24, verse 37, they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. It's a ghost. Well, Jesus calms them down, verse 38. He said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as ye see me have. Understand, Thomas is not there. We give Thomas a lot of grief for doubting. He had to see to believe. But guess what? Some of the others had to see to believe also. It's not real. It's not, it's a ghost. It's me. Look at my hands. See my hands? What's in my hands? His hands, his feet, his side bear the scars of the wounds from the nails and the sword. Now, in his glorified body, he did not have to maintain those. But he chose to maintain those marks as a memorial of what he did for us. Redemption is not just something to help us through the day. Redemption is eternal. The evidence of the completion of that redemptive work is sealed in the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see those marks someday. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Go over to John chapter 20. Same meeting, John chapter 20, verse 20, verse 9, yeah, verse 20, John chapter 20, verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They had to see to believe. Oh, but Thomas isn't there. Verse 24 of John 20. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. And then verse 25 continues, and Thomas makes this fateful statement, I will only believe if I can see. Well, that's what they did. But he gets the label, doubting Thomas. So later on, they're all together, verse 26. After 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas is with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them. Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Now seeing was enough to believe. He didn't have to touch. Thomas answers in verse 28, my Lord and my God. And Jesus then declares this profound truth in verse 29. Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. He really said that for our sakes. I mean, after all, they were going to see him. They were there when they were living at the time of his resurrection. He was obviously going to meet with them. He promised to do so. They were going to see him. But we don't see him. Unfortunately, for too many, Seeing is believing. But Jesus proclaims, believing should be enough to see. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Do you know it? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Thus, seeing is not the evidence for faith. Faith is the evidence for seeing. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. It's the last time they're going to see him. At least I think that corresponds to this. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that those who hear may believe also. He declares here that some signs and wonders will accompany preaching. Verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And indeed, all of those things did happen. However, by the end of the first generation, all of those signs and wonders were gone. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that still want those signs and wonders today. Do you know what I think the problem is? They still have to see to believe. But real faith is enough. Nothing needs to be seen in order to believe. For when we truly believe, we will see the Savior through his word. We don't have to see Jesus with our eyes to believe. And this is the message we need to preach. Luke chapter 24 again and verse 44. Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Well, they were eyewitnesses, but we are heart witnesses. We see with our heart because we have believed his word. It's our turn to share the words of Christ so that others can hear and believe. First, however, if we're going to do that, the motivation comes from this. We believe Jesus' words can actually change a person's life. Do we believe that? Is it enough to hear his words? It really is. If you'll truly listen and truly hear, You don't have to see to believe. But you have to believe to see him for who he is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for recording them in this book. Lord, we can witness to the fact that they have changed our lives. Use that as motivation in our lives to want others to have the same privilege. May we share the words of Christ, the words of the gospel, your word, with others, that they may believe as we have. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.